Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, there's more on Ollie Horgan's departure as Finn Harps manager. We speak with Gavin Cullen. Derry City soccer writer Kevin McLaughlin looks ahead to this Sunday's Cup final as Derry City look to lift the Cup for the first time in 10 years. We hear from the Dunloan Neve Connell camps ahead of their Ulster Club Championship ties. And later, Eamon Giles joins us to talk more on the upcoming National Cross Country Championships. Well, we're going to start with football. And, of course, taking all the headlines this week is the departure of Ollie Horgan from Finn Harps. Former Donegal Gaelic football All-Ireland winning boss Jim McGuinness is among the names being linked with the Finn Harps managerial role today. Harps, of course, are on the lookout for a new manager for the first time in 9 years following Ollie Horgan's agreement with the club by mutual consent to step away from the job. Now, Kevin McHugh, Paul Hegarty, William O'Connor and Declan Boyle are just some of the other names that have been mentioned in football circles. Former Harps captain and current manager at Cockhill Celtic, Gavin Cullen, has ruled himself out of the running this time around, but would love to take the manager's position at Harps down the line. Gavin joined me earlier today to discuss the managerial situation at Finn Park. So, Gavin, it's good to talk to you again. Normally we're doing match previews, but it's not the case this week. The season is done and dusted, and already, as we know, the main story over the last couple of days has been all about Ollie Horgan and his departure from Finn Harps. Time for a new direction for the club, Gavin. How do you sum up Ollie Horgan's 9 years in tenure at Finn Park?
Look, I've said it before, and I've been on record as saying it, I think, in my opinion, Ollie has been Finn Harps' probably best ever manager. To do what he'd done, and knowing him personally, his work ethics and the effort and commitment he put into the job is probably second to none. I'd say the hardest working manager in the country or in football. I know that I'm aware of anyway. So all that, there can be nothing laid against him in terms of what he's brought to the club and what he's sacrificed for the club. So, again, he has to go, and I still probably prove it that he will go down. And I know there's a lot of people saying it was time to go, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But at the end of the day, I think it sort of run its course this season. This season has been poor, and he's admitted it himself. And I think a change of direction by the club is probably, for both parties, is probably the sensible approach at this point. But again, he'll be sorely missed, and he'll be very, very, very difficult to replace.
Yeah, hugely difficult to replace. It doesn't seem too downbeat about leaving the manager's position. He's still very much hurting about relegation, because he did come back after last year when he was going to step away, and he would have been a lot happier if he had kept Harps in the top flight.
I believe so, but again, knowing Ollie, it's not really, he never makes it about himself, you know. It's lucky he put his heart and soul into it, and he'll definitely be hurting in the relegation, but the relegation was staring him in the face for a few months, so it probably didn't come as entirely as a shock. And probably, again, moving on or losing his job probably hasn't come as a shock neither, so I don't think that at Ballarm as much as the relegation, and it is disappointing to go out on a low ebb after having such a good period, but at the same time there's not many managers that leave or lose their jobs that go out on a high anyway, so it probably was never going to happen, you know.
Yeah. Will he be back in the League of Ireland managing, do you think?
I would have thought so. I definitely think he's earned a hell of enough credits to get an opportunity at possibly like a Galway United or a Sligo Rovers or something down the road. I don't know what he'd probably take a bit of a break and recharge the batteries, I would have thought. You know, but I would definitely expect to see Ollie in some capacity at some level in the game. I have no doubt about that. I don't think he can do what he done and just switch it off overnight and turn it off. So I would be expecting definitely at some point, if he gets an opportunity again, he'll take it.
Yeah. How difficult a job is it now from a club point of view to find a replacement, Gavin?
I think it's going to be extremely difficult. But again, look, teams move on, clubs move on, personnel moves on. The biggest worry I would have is the change in personnel of players again and the full overhaul that happens year in, year out at Harps. That's not great. That's not a great start. If a new manager, a new management team comes in, they have a full new team. So there has to be a bit of realism when somebody comes in that it's going to take time. They have to be given time to put their own stamp on it. So look, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen in the case of next season. I think you have to be realistic about that. But it's a big appointment coming up for Harps, like, you know, and I hope it's not a short term fix at this point.
Okay, lots of names been battered about over the last 12 to 24 hours or so since Ollie departed. Your name's among them, Gavin. So does you, of course, led Coghill Celtic to numerous Ulster Senior League titles. You've captained Finn Harps. You're in goalkeeper for a very, very long period. You know a lot about the happenings and what goes on at Finn Park. Is Gavin Cullen in any way seen to be in line to be Harps manager next time around?
Look, I don't think so. Look, it's obviously, no, it's nice to be mentioned, and it's definitely a privilege to be mentioned. It's something that I would never ever rule out, but the timing of it has to be right. Like, I have a young family, kids, a business that's very busy work-wise, so I believe the Harps role is a full-time job, and it can't be treated lightly. So, like, the timing of it, I suppose, for anybody or any manager is hugely important. I think personally, look, I'd be hypocritical to say I wouldn't be interested at some point, because I'm always telling players to try and play at the highest level and push themselves and try and improve themselves and don't hold back and don't be playing within there. So I have to be the same in terms of, if I want to be a football manager, you have to sort of aim high. And I do believe that I'd be capable, but again, timing and all the rest is huge, and I don't think the timing's right for me at this point with it, you know.
Okay, then. Well, maybe down the line we may see Gavin Cullen on the dugout as the man in charge of Finn Harps. So then, Gavin Cullen's ruled himself out this time. Let's look at some of the other guys. Jim McGuinness is the leading name. Is this the right job for Jim McGuinness in his world of soccer at the moment?
I'm not too sure. Look, Jim McGuinness is undoubtedly one of the highest profile name being banded about, and I would personally like to see it happen if it did. I'm not sure the structures and I suppose the finance at Harps will be on the same level as Jim will be maybe demanding or requiring, but look, he's going to have to cut his teeth somewhere, so why not let it be at Donegal, and why not let him take the reins and see what he can do, because I've no doubt his professionalism and what he brings to the table will improve Harps as a club, and I think that's what they need. And the next manager needs to bring the club forward rather than just a first team manager. He needs to manage the whole football club. So look, will it happen? I don't think so, but if it does, I would be very interested to see it happen and see how it progresses over the next few years.
Yeah. What about somebody like Kevin McHugh or Paul Hegarty?
Well, Paul Hegarty's been there, done it. I played under Paul. Ultra professional, absolutely demands high standards from the players and all. Very, very good manager, knows the game inside out. Probably he's come up my levels very similar to Ollie in terms of the demands he puts on himself, and that puts a strain on his life outside of football as well. So I don't know. He's been there, he's done it. I'm not too sure if he'd give it another go, but look, he's proved himself more than capable of bringing the club forward. In terms of Kevin, look, obviously Kevin's working at the club at the minute. He's a club legend in terms of on the pitch, but sometimes that doesn't prove itself off the pitch. But I think he's again more than capable, and he's one of the more high profile candidates. I personally don't think he'll go for the ticket this time again, just pure timing for himself. In terms of working, the commitments to the academy and stuff, which is second to none. So I'm not too sure. It could be proved wrong, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Your good friend William O'Connor is playing a blinder with UCD at the moment. He was, of course, part of of the management down there, which has kept UCD still alive and their survival hopes still alive. Is this a job possibly that might interest William, or is it at the wrong time for him?
Possibly again, as I said, the start timing. I think it's definitely a job that would 100% interest him. I think he'd have to relocate to Donegal again. He's working as a teacher in Dublin on a part-time basis at UCD, which is a fantastic setup and a great place to be coaching. He lives and breathes football. He's a top coach, and there's no doubt a job like this will be on his radar at some point. Well, at this moment in time and the timing of it, and he'll move up and he'll give up his teaching role in Dublin, I'm not too sure. I haven't spoken to him about it this week, but I'm sure at some point we would definitely see it happen. And why not now? But I just don't know.
Yeah. Anybody else you think of, Gavin, that could fill this role?
There'll be a lot of applicants, and there'll be from near and far people wanting to cut their teeth at that level. There'll be experienced managers out of work, stuff like that. So there might be a surprise. Like, I know Declan Boyle's been mentioned, and I know Declan very well, and he's a top man. I know him and Joe Boyle went for the position before when Ollie got it, and I was personally very surprised that Ollie got it over them, but it was proved to be the right decision. But I wouldn't rule out something like that or a partnership like that again, which would be great. But the biggest thing when I think when Harps are appointing it is they have to have a long-term plan, commercial plan, a business plan that involves a manager, that involves working closer with the academy, and they need to start producing players from the academy. I know Ollie was sort of ridiculed for not playing these players, but look, I've seen firsthand that maybe they're just not up to it neither. It's up to the academy to produce that level of player that the first team manager can play and get opportunities. So there's a bit of both involved in that, but I think whoever comes in needs to be given that license and that sort of remit to work with the local players, the Ulster Senior League players, and the junior leagues within the county. Because if we're being honest, Van Harps can't afford to compete with the likes of Derry City or Sligo Rovers in terms of the quality of players they bring in, so they're going to have to bring them through, and that's a long-term fix.
Yeah. Okay then, Gavin, thanks for your input there. We'll see how the managerial process progresses now in the coming weeks and months. Thanks for joining us.
No bar. Thank you, Ashley.
Gavin Cullen there, talking about the manager situation at Finn Park. Staying with football, Derry City will look to get their hands on the FAI Senior Cup for the first time in 10 years this weekend. On Sunday afternoon, Rory Higgins' Candy Stripes will play Damien Duff Shelburne at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin's D4. This is Derry's first time competing in the Cup Finals since 2014. On that occasion, they lost to St Pat's. In the big match preview, I've been looking ahead to the tie with Derry Journal soccer writer Kevin McLaughlin, who says there's a feel-good factor around the city ahead of the big decider.
Oh, it's tremendous, I have to admit. I haven't seen this buzz since possibly the 2006, 2007 European runs and stuff like that. It really is. Like the players are going out on the schools are doing sort of non-uniform day on Friday. Bring your Derry City and your red and white stuff to schools. Look, as I say, the feel-good factor's here. It's all about now all roads leading to Dublin on Sunday.
Yeah, it's nice to have a feel-good factor around the club. Listen, as we go into the Cup Final, from Derry's perspective, it's been a good season with one game to go, finishing second behind the champions, Kevin.
It has. It could have been, a great season with four games to go. They were right on the hunt for the league title. Things went awry then. But look, you offered a Derry City fan at the start of the season, second spot and a cup run, they'd have taken your hand off. And that's exactly what they've got. They've closed the gap to Rovers, and now they've a cup final on Sunday against Shelburne.
Yeah. Sadio Diallo was ruled out after having been sent off. He's not going to play in the cup final. How big a blow is it, and how can Derry cope without him?
Well, it is a blow because he's been playing regularly. He's come in the summer, actually made his debut down at Fun Harps in that game where him and Patrick McElhinney, particularly Patrick that day at Ballybuffet, turned things around and Derry won it 2-1. But Diallo, look, he knows himself, he was stupid, he lashed out and he retaliated, so he had a go. But probably centre midfield is the sort of one position where Rory's got a luxury of midfielders in there. So If it had been maybe a centre half or a left back or a right back, he might have struggled. But centre midfield, while he's a loss, he's got enough players that can replace him. Like so Joe Thompson, Brandon Kavanagh, they're all going to be champing at the bit to get in the starting 11.
And obviously, Shelburne had known for a number of weeks from the cup final, and they really had nothing to play for. Derry were sort of chasing the titles, so they were. But they've stuttered in their form over the last number of weeks. Who would be the form team going into this? Who's going to carry the form into the cup final, do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, both teams have been disappointing the last four or five games. Shelburne will sort of feel that they came to Brandywell and ended Derry's title hopes that night when they get the point. They got a great result then a couple of weeks later where they scored five or six. But then they suffered a heavy loss the week before, just last week, against St Pat's. Yes, they're going to be one eye in the cup. I get all that. Derry, on the other side, look, they struggled. The draw against Shelburne, then the disappointing draw at Sligo on the Monday night. And more worryingly for Rory Higgins is Derry haven't scored in their last three games. 3-0 with Sligo, beat 1-0 with Shamrock Rovers, and beat 1-0 with Dundalk. So that's a wee bit of a concern. But look, because both sides had one eye in the cup final, they were making changes, they were giving boys game time. You're basically, if you're Damien Duff and Rory Higgins, you're going to be sitting this week saying, we give everybody their time sort of off, down tools for a couple of weeks or whatever way you want to describe it. But this is why we done it. We're all focused on Sunday.
Yeah, huge game. And as we know, anything can happen on cup final day, Kevin. But experience can be a telling factor. Would Derry maybe age at having more players and maybe more of the backroom team involved in an FAI cup final day?
Well, yeah, definitely. Both correct there. To be fair, Damien Duff might reply to you that, you know, have you played in many World Cups, Rory Higgins or Alan Reynolds? But no, don't get me. I know what you're saying. Like, but player-wise, I think, yes, experience for Derry is definitely twofold. We've got like Mark Connolly, maybe not an FAI Cup winner, but he's been across the water in Scotland, done one a few things. You've then, through the sort of spine of their team, Jamie McGonigal's played in two Irish Cup finals. You then have Patrick McElhinney, Cameron Dunnigan been there, done it by Dundalk, Michael Duffy, Shane McElhinney's played in a lot of experience under his belt too. And young Brian Maher, while, you know, he doesn't have that much experience and cup final and stuff like that there, he has played in a lot of big games. Obviously, we earned under 21s in the playoff heartache this season, so he's played in big games too, young Maher.
Yeah, Derry will obviously be seen as favourites then for this one.
Well, they are in the bookmakers' eyes. I think that, you know, if you went sort of squad by squad, then yes, Derry should be rightfully our favourites, but if you looked at the games this year, every game against Shelburne has been very close. Derry have won twice down at Tolka, one up by the odd goal, last minute goal, late goal. Shelburne have won at the Brandywell 2-1, and another game was a draw. You know, and that was a couple of weeks ago when Joe Thompson equalised late on. So they've been tight, they've been close affairs. And having spoken to a few people this week, you know, Shelburne's style of play will suit playing against Derry City. It's sit in, let Derry come at them, and then hit them the counter-attack.
Yeah. What about the Aviva factor then? Who's that going to suit? Will that suit Shells as well, do you think?
We're speaking here, what, Wednesday? So we're just going to sort of look at way things are, weather-wise and stuff like that. The big thing is Saturday. You know, Ireland's playing rugby on Saturday against Fiji on the Aviva pitch. If it's lashing me rain, the pitch is cut up, then no disrespect to Shelburne, they'll be quite happy with that. But if the pitch is in any way decent shape or fashion, Derry in a grass pitch this season has proven they'll be hard to stop.
Yeah. You mentioned Damien Duff there, and obviously he's played at a World Cup, but what's the Damien Duff factor with Shells?
Well, Damien, to be fair to him, he's got the team working hard. They're very, you know, defensively good when they go forward. You've got Boyd up front as well. Mark Coyle settled in superbly well, coming down from Harps. A blow for them actually is Matty Smith, who's on loan from Derry City. He can't play in the final because of that fact. He's done well for them since he's come in. Moylan in midfield too, Jack Moylan's another boy that's done well and scored a few goals. So they have a bit of experience then too, with Alexis Shane Griffiths and Brenton Clark and Nets has the experience. So look, yes, while they've a young squad, they've a lot of legs in their squad too. So look, I expect it to be a close game. I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah. Any other injury worries for Rory Higgins? I know you attended a press day earlier on Wednesday where there was players there and management. And what's the feeling around the actual camp as we head into a cup final? And is there any other worries apart from Diallo for Higgins?
No, that's what he's been saying. He says, you know, and he alluded to it at the presser that, look, after Shelburne, that really was our chances gone from catching Shamrock Rovers. So then it was all about managing minutes, managing players' minutes, and managing players that may need to be called upon, giving them game time. So it's a fully fit squad, and it's now basically down to the players now. Everybody's there, ready to go, champing at the bit. But they're very relaxed. I have to admit that today there was a lot of, you know, feel-good factor and let's get ready to go, and they just can't wait for it now.
Yeah, where's the goals going to come from if they've dried up then over the last couple of weeks?
Well, like, they have the talent there. Like, as I say, you have McGonigal, you have Akintunde, you have Patrick McElhinney, Michael Duffy, Patchin. Like, they have the talent there to get them. It's just taking the chances. That has been the big factor this season. They've created so many chances in games. Well, they should have killed teams off and hadn't. But I just think, as I say, it all depends on what our great, lovely Irish Weller in November is like. If the Weller is any way decent and the pitch holds up from the rugby, then it'll suit their idea too, I think.
Right, okay. Just two more questions for you. From a club point of view, and we all know that Philip O'Doherty has been instrumental in helping this progression with Derry. There's been huge investment there. How big a return is an FAI Senior Cup in year one under the management of Rory Higgins?
I think it's a massive return, particularly as you say, year one. I think they had a sort of 2 or 3 year project of what way they want to go. And one of the FAI Cup gives the players and that squad an unbelievable confidence going into next year. And if you're Shamrock Rovers, you're definitely looking over your shoulder. You were sort of looking over your shoulder this year with 4 games to go and Derry faded. That belief, that confidence, and that hunger, if you do want a cup but you want more, will be added to it. So Philip will be, and the club will be over the moon if they can win the cup, and it gives you, as I say, that belief. And, you know, it just depends on the hunger then for next year. Shamrock Rovers, can they keep it going? There's so many of them have been there, done that. Derry, on the other hand, they've got one test of trophy if they want it. Can they get them the big one, the league, the year after?
Right, call it now, Kevin. What's it going to finish on Sunday?
Close one. I'm not going to lie. I think it's going to be a close one. I will not be shocked if it goes to extra time and penalties.
Right. Uh-huh.
Because of that, I'm just going to say Derry snick it. Either 1-0 or 2-1 Derry.
Okay. We'll wait to see if you're right. Listen, Kevin, thanks for joining us. And the very best of luck at the Aviva on Sunday. You're going to be sitting high in the press area watching down and hope you get the result you want. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Hoshi.
That's Kevin McLaughlin looking ahead to the cup final. That game starts at 3 o'clock at the Aviva on Sunday afternoon. Martin Holmes will be there for Highland Radio Sport, and we will have coverage in association with Desmond Motors Transit Centre, the largest transit centre in Northern Ireland and the Northwest. More locally in football, Ulster Senior League action for the weekend starts tomorrow night, Friday. Finn Harps under-21s are playing Derry City Reserves. That game's at the Letterkenny Community Centre and it kicks off at 8 o'clock. On Saturday evening, there's a big derby as Bunnagee United play Letterkenny Rovers. There is, of course, full programmes of games to take place in the North West in the Donegal Junior League on Saturday and Sunday and in the Inishowen League on Sunday afternoon as well. But one of the standout ties at junior level is the Knockalla Caravans Cup. Aya FC taking on Glengad United, and that one kicks off on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Extra time and penalties if required in that one. Now to Gaelic games. Donegal Intermediate Champions Dunlow play in the Ulster Championship for the first time in the club's history on Saturday. The Ross's men go to Antrim to face Dunloy in the quarter-final of the second tier of the provincial competition. Dunlow progressed to Ulster by defeating Neave Columba comprehensively in the county final 6 weeks ago. Manager Desi Gallagher has been telling Tom Cumac they're excited about stepping into Ulster for the very first time.
Yeah, Tom, it's great. Look, at for the whole club, it's great. But for us as a team, it's great to be the first team to represent Dunlow and Ulster. You know, it's an honour for the boys, an honour for myself as the manager and the backroom team, you know, just to be getting a run in Ulster. Talk about Dunlow and Ulster is just a great feeling, and around the town, you know, they're all on about it. So Oh, that's good to be there.
And a big lead up into it. What, it'll be 6 weeks since you last played. Has that been a positive or a negative?
Yeah, look, Tom, it's a long time. Everybody's just waiting on it to happen now. Like, the boys are just chomping at the bit to get it happening, and you just hope that they don't be rusty after it. But we got a few wee games, friendlies and stuff like that. So you just hope that it's not going to be rusty on the day, because 6 weeks is a long time without competitive football.
Yeah. Who did you play in those challenge games?
We played Moyles Gales from Grains there and one, and we played ATU in another one. We had lined up to play the Gales before their championship win last weekend. We had them lined up, but it just didn't happen because with the under 21 championship out, we had a few boys playing in that, so yeah, it didn't work out for us. But look, yeah, we had two games anyway, and we had a bit of in-house stuff going on, so just trying to keep the boys going, really. They're just, it's all you can do, Tom, when you don't have competitive action, you know.
Yeah, because you had built up great momentum ahead of the Donegal Championship, really. I put in a huge effort. And obviously with lads back at college and the nights closing in, it's probably not as easy to get them together as it was, say, during the summer.
Yeah, look, it was great the way the championship ran off. And it was, for us, everybody trained every night. It was great. Even the boys away from home had their own program to do, and we'd meet up on a Friday night or a Thursday night up in Oma or whatever, like, and it was good that way. This last few weeks now with the bad weather, we couldn't get them pitches, so really it was just whatever we were doing at the weekends ourselves. And look, it's not ideal going into Ulster to have this situation, but nothing you can do about it. The time of the year that's in it, like, you're going to have that. So the boys work hard, you know, in the gym and stuff like that, and they do their own ball work, and we get a few early evenings and that as well, just for the boys at home, and the boys away are doing their own bit. So, look, it all works out. We can't do anything about it. It's just great to be having problems like that.
And tell me, what about Dunloy? Do you know much of them?
Not a lot about them. Just talking to a couple of boys that's playing up in Antrim in the championship, Jack Scally and Michael Connolly, and them boys that just said they're a physically strong team, and they're very quick in that. You know, we watched them now on the stream when they played in the final against Glenravel, and they were fairly comprehensive winners on that day. So they have a lot of strength with their dual players. You know, they're very strong, and they've been in Antrim panels for a while with the hurling and that, and they seem to be the good forwards as well in the football.
Yeah, and I suppose they have it's not their home pitch, but it's pretty close to home.
Yeah, well, hey, they're probably, 15-20 minutes away from it, you know, and they've all went to school around that area, and they probably played on that pitch loads. So, yeah, it's nearly a home pitch for them. But look at that, we knew that it was a, it was an away draw, and sure, look, you have to do that. It's the same as going to an away team in the championship. You just have to go with it and play your own game.
And tell me, how's the health of the squad? Have you got everybody?
Hopefully we had a couple of niggles going in, you know, going in this last few weeks. But that's probably one of the things that helped, like, was having that wee break. We were able to rest the boys and get them ready again. So hopefully now for the weekend we should have everybody back in action.
So obviously it's obviously the fear of rustiness is going to be there, and probably it'll take a while to settle into the game.
Yeah, well, that's the fear you would have. But we try to get up. We're going to give up the road early and try and get a good warm up done, you know, and that. So hopefully we can bring that out of them and that. And look, you never know, Tom. The boys could start on fire, and they could just take a wee while to get into it, and whatever it is, we just have to stay in the game if that happens, and just stay in the game and keep playing it out as we can, and we'll be there at the end anyway. Whatever way it brings us, we'll keep going to that.
That's Desi Gallagher, hoping that Dunloy can progress in Ulster on Saturday. They're off to Aughachill to play Dunloy Cúchulainns, and that one starts on Saturday at 1:30. Tom Comack will have updates from that game here on Highland. Just staying with the action on Saturday from a northwest point of view, there's another big game for Setanta. They're playing in the Junior Hurling Club Championship semi-final. They had a brilliant one last Sunday against Eoin Rua of Dungannon at the Adonagh Park in Letterkenny in the quarter-final. They're into the last four, and the Maha of Derry are the opposition there. It's at Healy Park in Omagh on Saturday, and it starts at 5 o'clock. Setanta, of course, looking to make it back to a final. They did, of course, win Ulster in 2017. Moving on to Ulster competition on Sunday, and Niamh Connell are returning to the Provincial Senior Club Championship for the first time since 2019 when they play Antrim champions Carrigan in Belfast Corrigan Park. We'll have full live match commentary from that game here on Highland in association with Highland Motors Letterkenny. See highlandmotors.ie for more. The Donegal champions will look to knock on from their county final success over St Eunan's and have been boosted in recent weeks by the return to training of Alton Doherty, Kieran Gallagher and Owen McGettigan. Niamh Connell, who were beaten finalist in 2010 and 2019, take on a Carrigan side who have been Antrim champions in six of the last 8 years. The prize on offer for the winner on Sunday is a semi-final tie against the victor of the Glen Errigal Kieran quarter-final. Niamh Connell manager is Martin Regan, and he has been telling Tom Comack they've had good preparation over the last 4 weeks in the build-up to the game.
Martin, all set for another crack at the Ulster Championship?
Yeah, looking forward to it now. We've had plenty done in the last few weeks, so it's nice territory to go into. So it's one we're looking forward to now. This Sunday definitely will be a big test, but we're all looking forward to it. The boys are eager to get going and give it our best shot.
I'm sure since you were last there in 2019, reached the final, you're itching to get back, given what has happened with them since.
Yeah, definitely. Look, at it's very hard to get into Ulster. Obviously, the Gold Championship were hard won, so it's very hard to get into it. So when you do get in, you want to give it to get back in again this year and give it a go. We missed out in 2020. Obviously, there was no Ulster in 2020, but it's lovely to be in that position now, and we're all looking forward to Sunday.
And St Eunan's obviously upset the apple cart last year, but you avenged that this year. So how has preparations gone the last few weeks? Because you had 4 weeks. Was that sufficient time to get ready?
Oh, it was. Look at it, it was brilliant. This last, every time we've been in Ulster before, particularly back in 19, so we had only a 2 or 3 day turnaround. So it was actually great. It was really good to get the 4 weeks. I suppose the Donegal Championship was tough in that you had 10, 11 weeks and it was pretty much week on week up to the final. So we've got an awful lot of work done the last 4 weeks. I have to say, fitness-wise, I think we've stepped up a little bit and we're probably in better shape going into Ulster now than we were going to the county final, and that we've more players back as well. We've the likes of Kieran Yaller's back on board and Owen McGettigan's back on board and Alton has another 4 weeks behind him as well. So we've got there three great options to have on top of what we had already. So no, we're looking forward to it now, definitely.
And I suppose really the Ulster Championship is kind of a whole new championship starting all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And look at there's no easy game, isn't it? You're up, there's nine county champions in there, so it's a proper good competition now and they're all tough games. But look at it, it's a challenge we're looking forward to this Sunday, definitely. And we'll see if we get on. We've a lot of work done in Carrigan, so we kind of know their strengths and things like that there. So it's whether we can nullify them now or not.
And tell me, what have you found out about them, or where are their strengths?
I suppose personnel wise they're very, very similar to ourselves in that they're a very experienced team. They've won, I think, 6 of the last 8 Antrim championships, so they're on the go. They're winning a lot of championships. They're out of the last 8 years, they're probably one of the most successful teams in Ulster in terms of how many championships they've won. They've been there a lot. They've a good mix of players. They're no more than ourselves. They've a lot of experienced players that would have played county at different stages, like Justin Crozier and Kevin Boyle in defence, and James Laverty, Michael McCann, Thomas McCann. They've an awful lot of experienced players that would have played a lot of county football, and then there's some excellent young players come through there, like Pat Shivers and boys like that there that are now in the county panel. So all in all, they probably have 10 or 12 players that would have played for Antrim at different stages. A good mix of experience and youth, and the running game is very, very strong. They're a big player, big inside player, so look at they'll cause us loads of problems to the world. They're all good footballers and all tough men, so they are too. So look, it'll be a right battle, so it will.
The record in Ulster isn't great. They've really struggled to get over the first round, and I suppose that can work two ways. They can be really fired up on this occasion. A wounded dog or a wounded hound can sometimes be very difficult.
Yeah, look, I know they haven't won many games in Ulster, but they've been very unlucky. When you look at the last few results as well, they're more than us. They missed out in an Ulster run in 2020 as well. And like they drew with Scotstown 1 year, and Ulster Cross McGlen beat them with a couple of late scores 1 year. They've never been far away. All the games they've lost, it's always been 2 or 3 points. I think Eudora might have beaten them by 4 points. And that was one of the biggest defeats they've got. So they're never far away. And even though they haven't got a right run in it, they've been thereabouts every year. So Sunday's going to be no different for us either with them.
What's your...
None at all. No, I've never... would have watched the game up there earlier on this year. We were selling tickets up there when Antrim were playing, I think it was Limerick they were playing that day up there. But no, we've never played up there as a team. We've never played up there. A few of the lads would have played quite the minor games up there, in the last few years, things like that there. But as a team, we've never played up there, so that'll be all new to us as well. And it's an intimidating enough venue from looking at it too. The crowd is very close to the pitch and very open behind the goal as well. So you're expecting it to be breezy up there, so it'll be a tough ground to go into.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, you know, Ulster Championship is normally played in different weather conditions. It's nearly a different type of game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. We would have found that, I suppose, the last time we were in Ulster as well. You're playing on a heavier pitch all the time as well, and conditions are generally tougher as well. But look, I don't think that bothers our boys too much. They're very adaptable. So the tough weather conditions, I think physically we're well ready for that kind of game as well. So hopefully it'll suit us all right.
Yeah, and tell me about the team-wise, any injuries, any knocks? You mentioned, obviously, O'Megettigan is back, Kieran Gallagher is back, and Alton is close as well. How close are they?
Well, I suppose Alton was close for coming on the final, and that he would have had 5-6 good weeks playing him at that stage. Alton and Kieran both played that full game. We played a game there 2 weeks ago, that challenge game, and they both played that full game and done really, really well. So they're probably a little bit further down the line than Owen is, but the three of them are definitely options this weekend now, definitely. And whatever we start with, there'll be options to come in. Whether they start or whether they come in, there'll be options for us. So look at, we've loads of options. Even going into the final, we've 21, 22 players, and we could have used any of them.
Yeah.
So you're adding three more to that as well. We haven't picked up any injuries. So
yeah. And how is Leo? Obviously, missed out on the final. Came on all right, but wasn't fit to start. How was he?
Yeah, Leo's again. He's 3 weeks behind him since that as well. Leo missed the semi-final. He got hurt in the warm-up of the semi-final and didn't train between that and the county finals. We missed out on them 3 weeks training. So he came on in the final. He certainly wasn't 100% picking on the final. He wasn't ready. He had no training done. But again, he is 3 weeks behind him now since that as well. He came back the week after the final as well and was straight into full training. So he's in much better shape than he was going into the final as well. So thank God his injury is cleared up. So he's another great option to have, obviously.
Yeah. I know you're never going to look past. It's always one game at a time. But, you know, this team, I'm sure, would like to give the Ulster Championship a right good rattle.
Oh, absolutely. Look, at you're there after winning your own championship, so the next step up is to give Ulster the best shot you can. And look, at it, to win an Ulster title, it's only three games, but there'll be three massive games. And that's starting with this Sunday. We have a huge test there with this Sunday. And please God, if we put in the performance we're capable of putting in, we won't be too far away come the final.
That's Martin Regan, the game in Corrigan Park between Carrigan and Eve Connell starts at 1:30 on Sunday. Once again, full live match commentary here on Highland. And that Glen Errigal Kieran tie is at the later time of 3:30 at Celtic Park in Derry. Michael McMullen will have updates for Highland from that tie too. And I suppose the other quarter final on Sunday is Kilcoo against Ballybay. Monaghan against Down. As we know, Jerome Johnson, joint manager of Ballybay, stepping away from his position as manager this weekend because he's got three sons and six nephews on the Kilcoo side. That match is at St Tiernach's Park in Clonus. And the other senior quarterfinals on Saturday, it's Enniskillen Gaels against Gowna. So a very, very busy weekend ahead in Ulster. One other tie of note as well, also at Celtic Park on Sunday, starting at 1:15. Derry champions Glenullen are playing Galbally of County Tyrone. And just like the last couple of weekends, once again, there is full programmes of games to be played in hurling and football at under 21 level in the county, both north and south, on Saturday and Sunday. But in the top tier A at under 21 level in the north this weekend, it will see Gwydor against St Eunan's and Milford play Termon on Saturday, while in the south, Four Masters go up against Dunlow and Neve Connell will take on Kilcar. The finalists for Motorsport Ireland's Billy Coleman Young Rally Driver of the Year Award have been announced, and it's dominated by North West drivers. Donegal's Eamon Kelly has been named alongside Patrick O'Brien from Oman County in Tyrone and Kyle McBride from Clonmany. All three drivers are in the running for the prestigious award, which is a prize fund of €100,000. The three drivers were drawn from seven candidates who were nominated on the back of their performances this year. The overall winner will be announced at the Champions of Irish Motorsports Awards ceremony, which takes place in Dublin on Wednesday, December the 7th. In boxing, Danny Boyle takes his first steps into professional boxing when he faces Robbie Chapman this coming Saturday night. The fight will be played out at the York Hall in London. The Dunlow Boxing Club man won the Irish Colleges title in successive years in 2018 and 2019, fighting at 75 and 80 kgs. The show, which is promoted by Josh Goodwin, is headlined by Mitchell Fearson, who comes up against Seamus Devlin. Now, Donegal LGFA and St Michael's GAA are presenting Coaching for Chrysler, a day spent observing and learning from some of Ireland's best coaches while raising funds for the Chrysler Tragedy Fund. The date is Saturday, the 26th of November, at the St Michael's GAA pitch in Dunfanaghy. The guests are Mickey Moran, who will talk on the power of conditioned and small-sided games, while Mick Bohan and Evan Talty discuss making the coach the better version of themselves. Pre-registration is essential. Go to eventbrite.ie, Coaching for Chrysler. Eight Donegal athletes will be on Irish teams this weekend at the International Masters Cross Country, which is taking place in Santry in Dublin. From Letterkenny AC, Natasha Adams, Nikita Burke and Brian McBride will all be in action. There's a Finn Valley trio of Noreen Boner, John Joe Doherty and Dermot Michael Carr. Milford's Martin Kerr and Sir Connell's Martin Cunningham will also be in action. And finally this evening, just staying with athletics, the National Cross Country Championships will be held in Donegal for just the second time on Sunday week. Cranford AC will welcome the best of the Irish cross country runners to the driving range at the Rossapenna Hotel and Golf Resort on Sunday the 20th of November. I've been speaking to one of the men that has been instrumental in securing the event. That's the founder and chairman of Cranford AC, Eamon Giles. Eamon Giles, delighted to have you into the studio of Highland Radio. You're very welcome along.
I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, and very excited, I'm sure, about the upcoming event. Hosted by Cranford AC down in near your home patch down around Rossapenna on Sunday week. It's a huge occasion for the club, so it is, Eamon.
It is indeed. It's something I thought that had gone past us, really. I didn't think we would get a national championship because we tried on many occasions before to get it, to run a title, to run a national title at Cranford, but we were never successful until this time.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the application this time around and what was the success to securing it this time around, Eamon?
Well, first of all, when we thought about it, we decided that Cranford Park was not suitable, and I tasked Jerry Geller with the job of going to the Casey family and see could they give us a bit of land to run the race. And after that, Jerry came back, and we had look at the where the driving range is in Dunnings, and we decided that yeah, this looked good. And I contacted Paddy Marley and asked him was he coming up to Milford in the near future, and he said he was. And I got him down to have a look at it, and this was unofficial, like, and he's one of the committee members that looks after those cross country races. And he said, yeah, he says he passed it. So yeah. We went from there. So then, putting in the application, we put in the application, and it was favourable. And they wrote back and said that, yeah, you have it. Of course, they sent out then an elaborate document to be filled in, and we filled that in. And after that, then they came up and looked at the scores themselves, and was passed. And we knew then it was all God's blessing going forward.
Yeah, and I know that like, Herbie McDade was involved in that committee that came down. Pardon? Herbie McDade was also involved.
Herbie McDade was, of course, he was, the people that voted for us, heard was one that's fairly heavily laden there with Donegal people, yeah.
Which is Bernie, good. You need your own to look after you too, so you do. Eamon.
Pardon?
You need your own to look after you.
Oh, you do. Of course you do. Yeah, yeah. Bernie O'Callaghan too was very, very vocal towards us. Yes, of course. Yeah.
Talking to Miles Geller last week, I know Paddy Marley was impressed with this course.
Yes.
Because it's perfect ground. Yeah. For really, really fast cross country running.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, we put on a couple of wee hills on it too, just to to make it a little bit more than a cross country. And yes, Paddy's last course that he put together is very good. Yeah.
So it's going to be, we're going to see some high standard running then. So the course can provide it.
Yes, and of course as well as winning national titles down here in Dunnings, the people who won the senior men and women, the under 20s and under 23s will all be competing for in Europe for Ireland.
Yeah.
So that gives it a higher status again.
Yeah, it certainly does. So does what's the feeling like around the club now, as the week said, Andy? Because it's a national event being hosted by your club. What's the buzz like? What's the buzz like around when you guys are all meeting up? And what's it like at training with the underage? And
we're very excited because I put together just a very small committee consisting of Dumpna Gallagher, our secretary, Jerry Galler, Miles Galler, Rose Gavigan, and Erin McElhenney. And these are the people that were tasked with putting this together. And I have to say that it worked out very well. And of course, with big excitement for anybody that qualified. And I suppose, because it's on near to a main road, we had to have a traffic management plan put forward, and Garda Síochána came in here and done that for us, led by Superintendent Dave Kelly, and I'm amazed really at the help that the Garda has given to us, and then the fire brigade and Cliff Rescue are the two people, the two associations that have come in and are going to do the parking for us.
Yep.
So, all in all, a lot of people down there have come in behind us. The GAA as well, they've given us showers and parking area. And, Peter McBride is a farmer and he came and said he would give us his field for one. So, and of course, the Rosa Penna has left all their parking land there to us as well.
Yeah.
And the Casey family couldn't do without them.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's a massive event, as we say. 61 years of Cranford AC. Did you think 60 years down the line after you founded the club that you'd be holding the national event, Eamon?
No, that wouldn't have been going in the mind at all at the time. Yeah. I was when we started off first. And Cranford to organise a club. There was no organised athletics in Donegal. There was athletes in Donegal, but they were running with Northern Ireland clubs. So I decided at that time that we'd start a club, and after having a couple of meetings in Cranford, I didn't get any great encouragement from the older people, and they would have said, you know, that the first thing they said we had no money, no athletes, and we had too far to travel for competition, and then there was a fellow down there named Jim Hunter and Pat Marley, and they came in along with me, and after that, we started running ourselves before we ever thought about starting. Well, but that thought was always in my mind. I thought, well, now, if we're going to do this, we might just do this when we're young and not be waiting till we're old. So we got together and Oak Leaf at that time was a great club and one of the top clubs in the country.
Yeah.
And Ulster was winning everything in Ulster. And I contacted Oak Leaf through the Derry Journal paper, and I got the secretary of Oak Leaf, a fellow named Shiver Drome, come back, and I came back to me, and then I wrote back to him then and asked him how would you go about starting a club, and he gave me all the information. I put it all together. And lo and behold,
Away he went. And he's had some brilliant success down through the years. But from your perspective, Eamon, as founder, how proud would you be? Because there's a number of Cranford athletes who are going to run in this cross country on Sunday week. How proud would you be if there is any from your own club that can be standing on a podium on Sunday afternoon in Rosavenna?
Well, that'd be a very, very proud moment for myself and indeed all the coaches that work with me. Yeah, we would. And I am sort of confident that we'll have people on the roster more now, to be quite honest with you. We have another 12 team qualified. We'll be led by Oisin McHugh and Matthew Giles. And then, of course, we have Oisin Kelly, namesake of your own, running the under 20.
He's a far better runner than me.
That I don't know. I'll have to test you out. But anyway, Kieran McFadden has won the Ulster under 16 and under 17 this year, and yes, he's looking good.
Yeah,
and if everything goes well, I'm expecting big things from them as well.
Yeah, they've had a brilliant year, so they have the two of them, Keelan and Oisin.
Absolutely.
So they have them.
Well, won the 800 and 1500 outdoor and indoor. It is very, very hard to do, and I never heard many people ever done it.
So fingers crossed they can produce the goods. We're trying not to heap any pressure on them.
It's hard to put pressure on those guys. The heads are well screwed on.
What about you in pressure? How do you manage it? Because you're carrying a lot of it at the minute.
Well, I suppose I enjoy pressure, really.
Right. Yeah, good.
Because it gives you a high, and at my age now, it takes a brave bit of exhilaration to get you high.
Yeah. Well, listen, you'll be full of energy and exhilaration, so you will on Sunday week when the National Cross Country eventually comes to Donegal, hosted by Cranford AC at the Rosavenna Golf and Hotel Resort. It's going to be a spectacular day of action, of cross country running, and all we can do now is wish you the very best of luck with it.
Thank you very much.
That's Eamon Giles speaking ahead of the National Cross Country, which is heading to Rosavenna Sunday week, November 20th. That's a date for the calendar. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday? Enjoy it. Have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.